Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Who are you? Where are you? And how are you? And what are you doing?
What are you doing right now?
Welcome to News on Acid, episode 49. We are your hosts, Joe and Evan. Evan, how are we doing today?
Doing quite well. It's a Saturday when we're recording this, so it's nice to do this not on a day after work. It's actually 4:20 right now.
4:20, fucking blaze it. yep. We were talking before we got the mics hot about how shit talking can be like a bond building experience.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing for friends and couples, coworkers. I've seen that all the time.
Yeah, like I remember moving into the dorms and like you have a new roommate or a new suite mate. That's almost the first thing you do is like, what can we mutually like talk shit on or like make fun of to like get this bonding experience off on the right foot?
Yeah, I mean, and same thing like at work. Like I was trying to explain this to my boss. Like he's like, why do people just like think it's fun to hate on clients? It's like that's how you bond with your coworkers. It's, you know, it's like the same way he bonds with like other people on the leadership team with you know, shit talking the competitors.
Right.
You know? Yeah. It's like that's what we have in common. It's fun to shit talk.
And it's funny because like it'll happen with complete strangers too, like in a public setting. And you don't even have to exchange words. Like I was at the gym the other night and there's a guy there that I don't know his name. I've never met him before. But we're both lifting weights in the same area. And this other guy comes in and starts like fumbling around with shit and like clearly is just like in the way kind of and like both me and the stranger give each other like the look, you know, where it's just like this fucking guy, you know,
just like the head.
just like the dude was kind of just like, you know, like he did one of the like, oof, you know, like if he made a noise, it'd be woof, you know, like what the fuck is this? But like, it's hilarious that it can basically be like nonverbal too. And with someone you've never fucking met before, but it instantly bonds you as just being like, yeah, seriously, like this person's making a total like social faux pas or like whatever the fuck is going on. So I don't know. It's hilarious.
Yeah. We were being pretty judgmental last night. We were trying to waste time after climbing and we went to this bar and then we went to this upstairs portion of the bar. We were just kind of just basically looking down on everybody and
it gives you this error of superiority. Yeah. That's
I mean, sometimes you can't help it. We saw a white girl with an eighth of her head had cornrows.
Dude, it was so bad. So bad. Yeah. Yeah, that was hilarious. People wearing ties. It's like a very Denver. You don't wear a tie in Denver, really. It's just not a thing. But yeah, I mean, it's you know, you should try to be a nice upstanding member of society. But if you have no other way to try and connect with somebody, you might as well figure out if you have a common denominator that you can try to rag on a little bit just to get your own rapport going. But we digress. Our first story today comes out of Colorado. So
some local news.
It's pretty local. It's about a bill that's being sponsored here by Democratic Representative Jovan Melton, House Bill 1089. We have kind of an intro video from 9 News here that we'll just hand it over to that and let them explain it. And we'll get with it afterwards.
Alrighty.
He didn't touch the brakes or anything. We just drove into a tree going 50, and I ended up breaking my neck, and I got stuck in the car, and they like cut me out and stuff.
At 16 years old, Brandon Coates became a quadriplegic. When Colorado made medical marijuana legal, he started taking it to combat severe muscle spasms.
And sometimes just my whole body, like my back will arch and my legs will be trying to kick out. When I smoke the marijuana, it does alleviate it.
And although Coates was not high when he failed a random drug test at Dish Network 10 years ago, they fired him because THC was in his system.
Our position is that it's a zero tolerance policy.
Coates took his case all the way to the Colorado Supreme Court. He argued he shouldn't be fired for doing something on his own time that's legal. But in 2015, the court ruled that if an activity is unlawful under federal law, then that defense won't hold up.
Cincinnati to Denver.
Since then, Brandon hasn't had a job. The other call centers he applies to tell him they also have a zero-tolerance drug policy. He sees hope in House Bill 1089.
Just, I need marijuana in order to function, but I also needed a job. And, you know, this will make it so I could have both.
The bill says an employer can't fire someone for off-the-clock activities that are legal under state law, even if those activities are illegal under federal law. A person applying for a job could still be drug tested before they are hired, and employees could still be fired for being drunk or high while at work.
I'm glad that I brought it into light because, you know, we need change. Something has to change. There are so many people, you know, who smoke marijuana, and not just medically, but recreationally. We've made it law that we can do that.
All right. That's a good stopping point, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, this has been a fucking issue since weed was medically legalized and obviously recreationally as well, how employers are still dictating what people are doing on their own time, which, you know, as they kind of touch on in the beginning there, is a federal, it's the federal legalization problem, which gets wrapped into a bunch of shit with weed nowadays. But
yeah, I mean, I have so many things to say on that. First of all, get after it. I mean, first of all, everyone fucking smokes weed here, so I don't really buy that. He can't get a job at a call center. Give me a break. Like, what is he calling and being like, hey, do you care if I smoke weed? Will you hire me? Like,
or they ask, like, why, you know, your position was terminated at Dish Network, and you have to say it's because you fucking tested positive for THC. But, like, who the fuck cares at a call center?
Yeah, lie.
Yeah, I mean, you can
like
just
every other person in a job interview.
That's true. Yeah, say you were the manager.
Yeah. First of all, so there's that. I mean, I don't know what percentage of people in Denver or Colorado smoke weed, but
it's a lot.
It's a lot. I mean,
and it's not like an everyday, like, let's dread my hair tonight fucking level of smoking weed either. Like, it's a recreational thing now. Like,
yeah, it's like beer.
Yeah, which, you know, I don't know.
But the other part is,
I'll let you continue before I cut in with my main problem with this.
Sure. Well, I mean, another thing that didn't completely make sense to me was that, like, there have to be some scenarios where you can drug test people, even if it's legal, you know, like a pilot or a doctor doing surgery. Like, those seem like things you might want to be able to randomly drug test people for, which I don't know if the bill has exclusions for that, but anyone where you're putting someone else's life in danger, you know, probably, even though I'm pro-weed, I don't want the pilot high. I don't want my surgeon high.
But do they take breathalyzers before they start surgery or fly the plane? Because they should. If we're going to do that, there's like the double-edged sword of trying to develop a breathalyzer
for
weed.
I would not mind the fucking, like, breathalyzer on the steering wheel of the plane. Right?
Like, if we put them in people's cars, like, let's put them in every cockpit. A breathalyzer in every cockpit. I mean, there's the double-edged sword there of, like, having a breathalyzer for weed, because if you treat, like, for instance, driving under the influence of alcohol, I've had this conversation where I feel kind of weird defending it, but, like, the fact of the matter, in my experience, is there is an insane difference between driving drunk and driving high.
Like, yeah.
So to treat them the same is, it's not apples to apples to me. So, like, that's a tricky one. But if you're going to develop, like, that type of shit should be developed if you are going to require that from specific industry, because they should be testing for alcohol as well.
Yeah.
If they're going to test for weed to fly a plane, you should be testing for alcohol. Like,
it's hard to test for. Well, I mean,
you should breathalyze. There should be a breathalyzer for weed too, then, you know, like, because that's the shitty part about weed, is that, like, you can only piss test and, I guess, approximate when that person was high or, like, how much THC is in their system. But that's such a huge variable.
You can't really, because it depends on tolerance and all these other
factors. Exactly. Yeah. Like, fat content of the body, all that shit.
What do you think about drug testing in general? Do you lean, like, libertarian, you're not for it, or you're kind of, like...
I'm not a huge drug test person. I think it's pretty obvious when people have a substance abuse problem.
Yeah.
There are functioning people, you know, functioning alcoholics, things of that nature. It's not a great thing to encourage people to be a functioning alcoholic, but if they're functioning and like your only obligation to them is as an employer and mm-hmm. they're not fucking up at work, then like, okay,
yeah.
What are you going to do? Like, insert yourself in somebody's lives as a private employer?
I'm more so like hiring than
right.
randomized well, drug yeah, tests. I mean, because like I worked for a pretty big company mm-hmm. in Atlanta, massive corporate company and massive corporation rather. And they had drug tests, but they were mouth swabs. And so the thing about mouth swabs is though, like with most drugs, they'll be out of your system in like 3 days. So like I was kind of okay. Normally I'm not really like pro drug test for things, but I was kind of okay with it. It's like, if you cannot stay clean for 3 days, then you probably don't deserve the job.
But are they are they random, or is it just upon hiring?
Just to hire, because it costs a lot of money to bring someone on. You sure. know?
Yeah. I mean, if it's like a one-time thing, mm-hmm. great. If it's randomized and you're going to get fired and not have a job for 10 years because you smoked weed off the clock, like
uh-huh.
that's the type of shit where it's just like, there's no rhyme or reason to this, because this person could be drinking vodka all day and you wouldn't even know, because you're not.
You'd smell vodka though.
I mean, maybe.
You'd know if someone was drinking vodka.
Maybe.
Like that guy we ran into last night.
I mean, that dude was just hosed. But I mean, the other big part of this, in like marijuana industry, kind of like marijuana industry future, is that in new states, like my home state, there's already discussion about how, you know, legalized marijuana will be coming in, according to, you know, certain state officials that are pro legal weed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the industry heads in the state have already started talks about, well, I'm going to maintain a zero tolerance policy, whether it's insurance, you know, or just assurance for them that they're not going to have a bunch of stoners trying to like install shit on a fucking rooftop, or like
any safety.
Number of trades.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in that same room, there are people who are like, really? You're going to try to dictate what people are doing on their own time? Because now like you're inserting yourself as a private employer in people's daily personal lives.
Yeah.
If you catch somebody in fucking Mile High Stadium here, that's supposed to be like, you know, installing fucking paneling
mm-hmm.
or whatever, smoking a bowl at the 50-yard line of the fucking stadium, you fire that person. Yeah, you can't smoke weed on the job just because it's illegal for you to smoke weed in the state of Colorado. Sure. But like, to try and dictate what they're doing off the clock,
I'm not for that.
And so much of it is a fucking because of the federal problem still. So like, it'll be interesting to see how everyone changes their fucking tune when it's federally legalized at some point. But the one big point I alluded to earlier is that there's just the misconception that by doing this, you are advocating that people can smoke weed at work, which like doesn't make any sense.
No one's saying that, right?
I think it's a misconception that like,
who's saying that?
I can't give you a fucking name, Evan, but I think the misconception by this, like, if, why else would they do this? You know, like, why would it be such a big deal if people are smoking weed off the clock?
I mean, because people, I mean, half of Colorado is super conservative.
Right.
That's the only reason.
But it's everywhere. It's not just Colorado.
Yeah, but just
in liberal-ass fucking Portland, Oregon. You know, like, it's everywhere.
That's true.
So, I mean, I think there is a misconception that, like, they think there will be some spike in people, like, not being randomly drug tested, that they're going to now smoke weed on the job, which doesn't make sense, because...
Are you saying the misconception is that more people will, or that they're allowed to?
I guess that more people will. That more people will, because they're not getting drug tested. Like, there's no idea that, like, now that we're allowed, like, mm-hmm. now that we're not randomly drug testing you can smoke weed at work. You know, like, that's not the idea.
I think
people are worried that if they're not drug testing for marijuana, people are going to be using it throughout their day at work.
Well,
because of their medical condition or whatever. But it's just like, you don't have to put up with that. That's why that like breathalyzer for weed idea.
Yeah.
It needs to happen because you need to have a way to
and
prove.
People just eat it or whatever, unless it works that
they
way.
They just need to prove, be able to prove that someone like just smoked weed or whatever. I don't know.
What do you think about like government benefits doing drug testing?
Explain that a little bit more.
A lot of government benefits, not a lot. I guess there's a handful, like food stamps and maybe like housing subsidies or something. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, we'll give you this free money, but we have to drug test you first to make sure you're not using it on drugs.
Yeah, I've never had a problem with that.
I don't really either.
But I also, at this point in Colorado, if they didn't give somebody food stamps because they had THC in their system,
that'd be a little
I'd
different.
Be like, fuck off, dude. Like, yeah. I can do that here. I don't know what you want from me.
It's a little different. Yeah, it's a tricky one.
You have like record fucking methamphetamine levels in your system. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Yeah. I was at Wendy's like a couple months ago.
Okay.
And
what'd you get?
It was like it was like 10 o'clock at night or something.
Yeah.
I think I got a Dave's Double or a Sossum Burger. and the guy at the counter, he was like super confused. They're like, go clean the rags. And he's like, what rags? And it was like, the rugs. And they're like, this guy's high. And then like the lady was like, I'm really sorry. Like, no one's high here. And I was just like waiting at the counter to like order or whatever. And then the guy was like, yeah, this guy was like, yeah, you know, no one's high here. And I was like, why not? I was like, you should be.
I am.
I was like, it's the late night Wendy's. Like,
dude, if I was working at 10 p.m. at Wendy's.
And then he was like, and then he like slowly leaned forward. He's like, I just did a bunch of dabs out by the dumpster.
See, people are doing it.
And then he put like, I got Wendy's chili because I'm a piece of shit. And then he put like 500 of those like individual saltine cracker things in my bag.
Fuck yeah.
So people are getting high at work. But
well,
I
used to be a dishwasher.
Christ. Yeah.
You're not doing that job.
Sober. Yeah.
Sober. Like you can do it more effectively if you're on fucking blow. And you can do it more peacefully with... your life as a dishwasher if you're high on marijuana.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, whatever. Just wash the shit. This isn't so bad. You're like, they let me listen to the music I want. like.
Totally.
So, I mean, there's a difference between that and like installing fucking electrical cables. But,
yeah.
You know, if you're doing it off the clock, guaranteed, dude, like I've worked as a fucking doing... fucking arborist work too, and yeah. Like you want to tell me that I didn't watch everyone including myself after a day of climbing around with chainsaws and trees like shotgun beers as soon as we got off fucking the clock?
Yeah,
so you're gonna show up hungover the next day and then have to work a saw. So like people do that shit, so yeah, they should be able to smoke weed off the fucking clock. So I would go ahead and be okay with passing House Bill 1089.
Yeah, with some exclusions for jobs that affect other people's safety, I think. I think, I don't know.
No, I think people should be able to do what they want on their own time.
Yeah, it's tricky. It's tricky. Let's move on to infestations, Joe. Are you into those?
Hey, what kind of infestations are you into?
Well, let's jump into this.
It's hard to believe that a little tiny squirrel could do this much damage.
Carrie Dreese is still in disbelief.
And this is where the squirrel had made its little nest.
The intruder making itself at home between the cushions of the living room couch. While on vacation, a home alarm sensor was tripped, making Carrie and her husband believe someone broke in.
The ADT said they had like police come out to check to see if the doors were broken into. We also had a friend come out, and they didn't have anything to report. The doors were still locked.
The couple again suspected a thief when they came home and wood chips surrounded the front door. But with nothing missing, Carrie did find small paw prints on the walls and droppings around the entire house.
You can like see footprints and like soot all over. It goes behind this mirror. There's droppings all along the mantle.
Dree says they did not spot an animal themselves, but called a specialist.
And when he saw the squirrel tried to run up the chimney. It couldn't make it up the chimney. He thinks that he's pretty sure that the squirrel fell down the chimney.
The squirrel was released away from the home. Dries later found their bedroom headboard to be soiled and damaged almost every wooden window frame and shutters.
It was like it was trying to get out. There's holes cut like just to the outside. So much he almost
damage. It's like a ridiculous amount of damage for a
single
squirrel.
How cold do you think it is in Georgia? Because she's in like a fucking sweater and a coat.
Inside.
It's like 70 degrees.
So that was in Atlanta, and that comes from actually NBC 5 Chicago, that video.
It's kind of sad that it couldn't get its way out of that house, huh? Was it gone when they got back, though?
They said they released it.
Okay, so it was stuck in there.
Yeah.
Trying to eat its way out.
Yeah, I grew up in Atlanta. I had squirrel infestations in my attic. They're fucking brutal. I also had a rat infestation at this really shitty house I lived in when I was broke in college. But I think it was partially my fault. We had some chickens. And so, like, I think they were eating all the chicken food.
Yeah.
And these rats were massive. And I was
Was that? In Atlanta?
South Atlanta, yeah.
Like in the city.
Like in the fucking ghetto.
Yeah. So there's like those like ghetto city rats.
Yeah.
That like lift weights on the corner.
Yeah. They were big. They were not like mice. They were rats.
Like a fucking New
York
rat.
We found they were like behind our like kitchen cabinets, like a giant hole back there, like behind the on the stove. And so we pulled the stove out and we set these giant rat traps back there.
Yeah.
And it was me and my buddy Mark, who's my college roommate. And we just wake up in the middle of the night and we hear like snap. We're like, oh, we got him. And we like look behind the thing. We're like, all right, we'll get it in the morning. And then we go back in the morning. This is so fucking gross. There's just the head of the rat in there. Another rat like chewed the rat off of the trap and dragged it back into the fucking wall.
Yeah. Do you think he ate it? Probably cannibalized it, right?
Dude, rats are...
rats are fucking next level. I was really surprised the last time I was in New York City, which was last year, 2018. Whatever, 2018 maybe. I didn't see a single fucking rat. I was blown away.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen one in New York City.
They're fucking everywhere, though, at the same time. It's weird.
You ever seen that documentary, Rats?
Yeah, it's fucked up. Here in Denver, I had a cockroach infestation in fucking Cap Hill.
That's the worst.
Which was, talk about just like, you get that instant like sick feeling in your stomach.
Yeah.
Like I was walking around in my apartment early in the morning without my glasses on, and I saw something like dart across my fucking like stovetop, and I was like, what the fuck? And like, come to find out, there's like straight up cockroach fucking problem going on in there. That was fucking sick.
Yeah. That same house I lived in had also was just massively infested with cockroaches. And
they like fumigated it like twice, because the first time I was like, no, they're still in here. I can fucking see them like running around. And then like, by the time they like fumigated the fuck out of the apartment, you can like lift up electric stove tops to like clean under them, you know, and like lift it up, and there's fucking roaches in there and shit. It's so fucking gross, dude.
Yeah. We actually had a contest to see how many roaches. There were so many roaches that it was like a contest to see how many you could kill with a single toothpick. I killed 3 on a single toothpick, just like stacked.
Oh.
But it was so disgusting. Like, Georgia has so many bugs in general, but like,
yeah, that's a perfect fucking climate for bugs.
You would turn on the lights in the middle of the night and they would just scatter.
So nasty.
And when I moved into an apartment here, I was like, look, I made them change the contract. I was like, if there are bugs in here, like, you guys are paying for it. Like, and it was like, typically the person brings the bugs. And I was like, okay, well, like,
typically I'm not that. I'm not doing that.
Do you want me to move in or not?
Yeah. So do you want my money or fuck off?
They added that clause that if like there's bugs, you're paying for it. Like, I'm not paying for that shit.
And then down in Durango, during the college years, we had a fucking mice problem in one of our houses because we had a garage on the house.
Mm-hmm.
The dumpster was, I don't know, 50 yards away from our house, but that was too far for 19, 20-year-old guys to fucking bring their trash out on like a regular basis. So we would pile fucking garbage bags in the fucking garage.
Yeah.
Of just like beer cans, you know, all the bullshit from being that age. And it definitely brought on a mouse problem. And it was setting traps. I forget what the circumstance was, but at one point, one of my roommates at the time is deathly afraid of mice. So that was like a side entertainment in and of itself. Anytime we would see one who'd literally, like a cartoon, jump up on a chair and like point at it and like freak out, which was hilarious. But at one point, there was one in the garage, and then we had a cinder block in the garage. And somehow somebody fucking like no-scoped it with the fucking cinder block and just like slammed down on it. So we had like dead mouse in our garage. At one point, I was like, there's no way we're not all getting that like hantavirus or whatever the fuck it is from like mouse shit, because they're fucking everywhere.
Typhoid.
Yeah. And like we would play beer pong in there every weekend and shit. So like we were just like hanging out amongst the fucking filth.
Yeah. And there was actually a story that popped up again. They had to close down a Colorado state capitol, a park across from the capitol where homeless people have been camping because it got infested with rats.
Yeah.
And they had that same problem in LA and I believe Pasadena as well.
I think that,
which is like a typhoid breakout, which typhoid is largely connected to rats. And then I think we had also another story if we wanted to play this video, if we're ready for it, Joe.
Yeah, another rat problem here. And it's Civic Center Park in Denver. I think it's still closed right now, isn't it?
It's a massive park, too.
They had to clear. Yeah, it's like the mall.
Center,
you know,
the center of like downtown,
it's basically. The mall of like the Capitol and all that shit, if you're familiar with Denver at all. But they had to clear it all out of all the people that were living there and everything because it was so fucking bad, which is fucking gross.
Yeah.
And then you go out west to the suburbs, and we find this fucking house.
Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Shannon Ogden.
And I'm Ann Trujillo. And our top story at 10, an exterminator shows up to take care of a rat-infested Lakewood home that neighbors have been complaining about. Now, the city didn't formally call for rodent removal. At this point, that's outside their jurisdiction. But city officials did strongly encourage the homeowner to bring in an exterminator.
Well, the homeowner showed up to watch, but didn't want to answer our questions.
Ms. Degman?
For those of you who are just listening, they literally the news crew shows up and they're like, whatever her name is, Ms. Degman.
Ms. Dykman.
Ms. Dykman or whatever. And she's just running away as fast as she can around the back of her house. It's hilarious.
Pretty amazing. This house was dubbed Rat House. I know somebody that lives in that like general neighborhood, and they would forward me the next door post, which is for anyone who doesn't know what the fuck that is. It's basically a fucking Facebook for your neighborhood. And it's just people bitching about this house because it just stinks.
Yeah.
And there's fucking rats everywhere.
Do you want to play any more of this? Or?
You can. Yeah. I'm just giving it a little more backstory.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, we've been tracking this story all week long for you. A viewer reached out to Contact 7 to lead to our initial story on Saturday.
You can see code enforcement that says June 2018. So, like, this is kind of old, but
those rats are massive, though. They look like beavers.
They show one that I'm sure whoever's watching on YouTube will see that looks like it has fucking rabies or something.
Officer showed up at the home Wednesday, and then today, exterminators began the process of removing all those rats. But
that woman was, like, gagging.
Yeah, like, so taken aback of what the fuck is happening.
As Denver 7's Jason Grenauer found, there is still plenty of anxiety about what happens next.
Oh, it was just horrendous. I have never smelt anything quite as bad as that in my whole life.
But today, it was about what neighbors on Lee Street in Lakewood saw.
The exterminator said he's never seen that many rats in a residence before.
Not just what they smelled.
Well, I mean, it's a big step forward.
A step forward baiting and setting traps.
Basically, it has fiberglass in it, and so it basically tears up their insides.
The city basically shut down the home and strongly encouraged the homeowner to fix the problem.
Right?
The bill is on her.
I would say some movement in the sense that...
Oh,
no, wait, the next one. Yeah, that one's bad. That one, look at that fucking rat.
But the odor is not going to get any better because we're just going to get an increased number of dead rats that we're going to start to smell.
That homeowner, Paula Dykman, was at the home today, so we tried to get some answers from...
So she lived there during all that?
I don't know.
Because that was my question, is like, what are they eating? They got to be eating something in the
house. I'm not sure if she was living there full time. I would have to go back and review the,
I don't trust
the next door post Dykeman, where everyone's freaking out. But there's no way, like, if the odor is as bad as everyone's saying, like...
She could be like a weird hoarder.
I guess,
like, some of those people have like 400 cats in their
it's
house.
It's true that like your smell receptors only notice like a change. So that's why people that live... in fucking Greeley or whatever, like, don't even smell that shit anymore. you know, like,
yeah,
that you get accustomed to it and you only notice a change in it. So if she's used to it, but I don't know how you could live among quote unquote like more rats than anyone's ever seen in a fucking residence before.
Excuse me, Mrs. Dykeman.
Yeah, let's see if she this is where she runs.
Excuse
again.
Me, Paul. Paul, do you have any comment about what's going on in that home?
Listen to his
We're
reporter
just trying
voice.
To figure out what's going on. She hid behind her trunk and then ran away. Ms. Dykeman, what happens next is a process.
As long as this is their only food source, then it's just a matter of time.
Doing this multiple times.
Why would that be
process,
their only food
they
source?
They just told us could take 2 to 3 months.
As neighbors.
I don't know. I mean, I guess that's a food source, so. It's
Dude, fucking rat house. How do you feel about feeding rats fiberglass? It's kind of like not the most humane way to do that.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any really humane way. I mean, I guess the trap, but yeah, the worst is those sticky pads where people just like,
they just like stick there and starve to death.
Yeah.
Yeah, not fun.
Well, I have the heebie-jeebies now.
Yeah, this place I know is real close to a reservoir, so I don't know if that contributed to it, but I mean, fuck, dude, it can happen to anybody. Could you imagine, like, obviously, could you imagine if it was your fucking house, but like, could you imagine if you were next door and you're like, you need to get these fucking rats under control, and the person's just not doing it. Like, that's why it was such a huge story here, because it was just like, nothing's being done about this. I'm seeing like, I'm looking at like 8 rats, you know, like, yeah. You know, like they're going to come into my house.
Yeah.
Like, all that shit.
Bring down the value of your house. No one will move shit. Next to the rat house. That's just like, you can smell it from your own house.
I feel like it might've gotten fucking sold too, actually.
I was actually thinking about the geese because we did a previous episode where in Denver, the geese are just taken over. So they started taking them out and using their meat for like
the needy
or the hungry, but they don't do that in Lakewood, and I was driving through Lakewood, and a goose just flew over. This was like earlier today. A goose flew over the road and just took a shit like right in front of my car. And I was like, "This is an infestation." Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Oh yeah, I mean, fuck geese. They are their own fucking infestation for sure. I was just trying to get an update on Rat House. I'm not getting anything off of a like quick Google search, but I am seeing that Denver is the 10th most rat-infested city in the country, according to denverite.com.
Wow.
10th most.
What's number one?
Fuck, let's see. Quick, waste time.
I'm going to go with, let me take some guess. I mean, I'm going to go with like, I don't know, Detroit. Detroit is what I'd have to guess just because there's most abandoned houses.
This is according to Orkin too.
Yeah. And then
wait, what did you say?
Detroit.
Is number one?
Yeah.
No. That's number 9.
Oh wow. It's gonna be somewhere you won't expect. It'll be like Chattanooga, Tennessee or something.
Wow. Chicago.
Really?
Because New York is too. I'm surprised it's not New York. Chicago, I guess. Freshwater.
Yeah. And anywhere where they put their garbage out, the garbage on the street is the big problem.
Number one going one to us in Denver at 10, Chicago, New York, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles. Then they have San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose together.
Yeah.
All right. Baltimore, Philly, Minneapolis, Detroit, Denver.
Wow.
So a lot of fresh water shit.
Big cities, yeah.
You know, Atlanta, 16. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to be wary. Keep your fucking hackles up. Get yourself a fucking rat infestation. Well, dude.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Yeah. Got anything else for episode number 49?
No. I think I want to wrap it up there and take
number 49.
Take a shower.
Yeah, right.
Feel disgusting.
Go spray each other down with fucking bleach.
Well, I think that does it for episode 49. Feel free to like us, rate us, subscribe.
Evan's been doing a great job being our social media presence, Twitter, Instagram, whatever else you're doing.
At News on Acid on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah,
perfect.
That's basically it. And we don't have a video to play us out, but we will see you guys again next week.
Love y'all.
Bye.